Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
It was at a very early age that I discovered I had a real, true passion and talent for anything having to do with the culinary art.
That is one shit burger.
Oh my God. It smells weird.
These are store-bought crap frozen ravioli.
They're not crap, and they're delicious, and first time I've ever...
Oh, okay.
People usually love it. I've never had a problem with it,
but... People usually love it. There's no point in me saying anything to you because you just don't... Well, it's good like that.
Gee, I wonder how this restaurant ended up on Kitchen Nightmares. They seem so perfect. If no one ever complains, then why isn't their business booming?
We're waiting on one pizza.
It's coming, no, it's coming, no, no.
You keep saying that. You've been saying that for an hour.
Wait, except that guy. But he doesn't know what good food is. He deserved to wait an hour because if he was smart enough to recognize quality, then he wouldn't have complained. What Amy's baking company needs is like a spokesperson to tell everyone how good their food is.
Chef Ramsay is coming to tell the people how the food is good here.
I need people who respect you, who know that you have earned your stripes in the kitchen and in life. I need them to listen to you and not the online bullies and take your word that you're saying that our food is good.
Now, it's one thing to be struggling with your business and not know why. Business is difficult, and unless you've been successful before, it's not obvious why something's not working. But if you are so bad that the reason why you're failing is obvious to everyone but you, then you really messed up.
So in 2006, Sammy invested over $1 million into this restaurant to make my dream come true.
And now everything makes sense. What he did sounds sweet, but you can't just give people a ton of money and make them successful. They need to start at the bottom and struggle to the top. If she wants a restaurant, then she needs to do the work to find the funding herself. To be honest, though, considering his behavior, I have a ton of trouble believing that this guy was successful enough as a builder of custom homes to have $1 million of spare cash to give to his wife.
So, were you trained in the industry?
No, not at all. I'm a developer. I build custom houses.
Either he's a trust fund kid, his parents got him all his business connections, or that $1 million was a bank loan. More on that later, but first, let me tell you about today's sponsor, Ground News. Ground News is the world's first news comparison platform with the goal of making all news more honest and transparent. Every day, the website compares thousands of news articles across the political spectrum to help you get the least biased and most informed experience of current events. Each article is rated on the bias of the news source and how factual or honest that news source is overall. Also, the owner of the news organization is displayed so that you know who you're getting your information from. Ground News' mission statement is to decrease political polarization, help get rid of echo chambers, and increase media literacy in the general population so that people are more difficult to manipulate. My favorite Ground News tool is the Blind Spotter. The Blind Spotter allows you to type in the Twitter handle of the creators that you watch and check to see what their political bias is based on who they follow and who they interact with. This tool allows you to see who is more balanced in their political interactions and who is more on the extremes. You can also sign up to check your own news bias, which can help you balance out your information diet. Check out Ground News by going to ground.news/TBYS or by clicking on the link in the description. All right, back to the show. This episode of Kitchen Nightmares covers Amy's Baking Company, a struggling cake restaurant that sells a bunch of other random stuff that's not really related to baking. It's located in Scottsdale, Arizona, and is run by wife Amy and husband Sammy, who, screaming at customers in the episode, made their restaurant infamous.
Unfortunately, the majority of the people in Arizona think that if you come to our restaurant, that we're going to yell at you, scream at you, and throw you outside. And that is not who we are.
Send them home!
Yeah, you have a pizza, it's coming. You want to wait, you wait. You don't want to pay what you have, and you fuck off from here. Do you understand?
Sammy?
Do you understand? You fuck you, sir! Go out, you motherfucker!
No,
you
no,
out!
Get out
don't
of
speak
here.
Like this! Go out!
No!
Now, if you've watched a lot of my videos, you may know that a while ago I said that Kitchen Nightmares manipulated the audience in the Barefoot Bob's episode by making people believe that wife Lisa was doing nothing all day instead of helping her husband Mark with the restaurant, when in reality, the reason she wasn't helping was because she was a stay-at-home mom. And true, they did do that, which brings the show's integrity into question. However, just because one reality show lied, and a lot of them do lie, doesn't mean that every single reality show is 100% scripted and faked. For example, Anfisa from 90 Day Fiancé made a video clarifying some of her scenes and admitted that her demon scream was real.
What is the problem? I am coming back. I am coming back.
She does have an explanation for it. However, it's kind of long, so I'm going to leave it out, and if you want to hear it, I've linked her video in the description. But in the end, she admits that she didn't know they were filming, so it wasn't scripted, and she said that her behavior was inappropriate, with no indication that she was portrayed unfairly.
I don't think I even knew that the filming crew was there. You know, I shouldn't have screamed so much, but I definitely wasn't feeling very good, so...
And of course it was real, because when you take a bunch of non-actors and give them scripted content, they can't produce emotion like Anfisa did in that clip. When a reality show is scripted or they've shot the same scene multiple times, it's painfully obvious because the acting is terrible.
Eric has been living on French fries for most of his life.
I can't see why I should eat something else. No one else eats more fries than me. I'm the fry guy.
JJ and I decided to find Eric at one of his favorite restaurants. Hi there, Eric, Dr. Mike Dell. Mom Edna asked us to come.
Really?
Yes, she is.
Concerned about your eating habits.
Just a plate of french fries, that's it.
Yes, that's all I eat.
You can tell that last scene in the restaurant was planned because it was really unnatural and awkward. However, most of the fakery in faked reality shows is in the editing. That being said, despite that it's possible that things might not be what they seem with this episode of Kitchen Nightmares, we're going to pretend that it's genuine. Because personally, I believe that at least most of it's genuine, and even if it's not, there are still a ton of lessons to be learned here, because Sammy and Amy make a ton of common business mistakes, and they do it in a way that is very easy for most people to see. The great thing about Kitchen Nightmares is that Gordon Ramsay actually does provide a lot of good business advice, and it tends to apply generally. Speaking of business advice, let's get to the number one reason that I think businesses fail.
Approximately 2 years ago, these reviewers and these bloggers decided to make up lies and say that they ate the food and it was disgusting. Son of a bitch. And we lost a tremendous amount of business because of it. They're just...
If you don't have a good product, then you don't have a business. And honestly, here's a quick test to see if you'll be a successful business owner. Can you take negative feedback? If the answer is no, then don't start a business, because when you start a business, you're going to get a ton of negative feedback until you get good. Take notes from this episode, because a lot of people screw this stuff up. Here's how not to respond to negative feedback.
I have issues with customers that are trying to be online bullies and say horrible things.
When did this start?
2.5 years ago.
This guy came in that started this entire online bullying.
He ordered pizza margarita. And after I say, okay, how is your pizza? He say, it's a frozen pizza. The next day he went and gave us a review. Oh my God. My wife, she was...
Well, retaliated.
You wrote back to him?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Well, why?
I told him. I thought he was a loser. He was a moron.
No,
I didn't take
you.
Him. I understand. He insulted me first.
This moment that Amy is referring to was such a big deal that it made the news. It happened back in 2010, which was 2 years before the episode was filmed. She gave the worst possible response to negative feedback. If this is your response to negativity, then it's 100 times better to just say nothing. Depending on the type of comment, I think it's sometimes okay to engage with negativity to figure out why someone reacted to you poorly. However, lashing out at people and calling them names is not appropriate. That's a great way to lose customers, and more importantly, it will make people afraid to give you helpful feedback, which will hurt your ability to grow.
The customer is not always right.
I'm actually going to give some points here and say that this is technically true. The customer is not always right, and oftentimes they will give you the wrong feedback or give you feedback that's not very useful. For example,
what is the problem with it?
Like the scissors, I don't know.
Even you don't know what is wrong with it.
The egg is.
Okay, yeah. If you came to eat to enjoy, then you should know what you like to eat, sir.
What Sammy doesn't understand is that it's not the customer's job to know exactly what's wrong with the food, but the feedback is still important. The customer's job is to eat the food and either...
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Enjoy it or not enjoy it. Just like with a movie, you don't expect the average moviegoer to know exactly why a film was bad. Surely it's a bonus if a customer can articulate exactly what's good or bad about a product, and typically when you're new, their advice is more accurate. But for the most part, it's the professional's job to take feedback and decipher what it means. One of the ways you figure that stuff out is by being able to engage with your critics properly. Ultimately, your goal as a business owner is to get really good at giving customers things they like that they didn't know they wanted. That's when people really start liking your stuff. And you only get that kind of knowledge with rigorous practice, lots of failure, and listening to lots of negative opinions. That being said, let's get into the food.
The fig and pear and prosciutto pizza. Well, the crust is supposed to be good, but it's not that crusty. It's very, very sweet. My dough's raw. Wow. That is so sweet. But that's not the issue. The issue is the dough is raw. It's raw.
Can you see how Chef Ramsay is not only able to articulate what's wrong with the food, but he's also able to show people who aren't as skilled how he knows something's wrong? Look, he does it again.
Wow. Blue cheese, mushrooms, marinated. That is overcomplicated. Well, medium rare, it's not.
Blue cheese, marinated mushrooms, crispy bacon bits, white truffle oil. Who comes up with those ideas?
I did.
Because there's certain things that don't go together, and that's four of them.
It takes years of experience and hard work to be able to give feedback like that, particularly with any type of food like Gordon Ramsay does. And this right here is why I'm bothered by wokeness and radical leftists. I'm not saying that Amy and Sammy are woke, by the way. I'm saying that they carry similar traits, and you can also find those traits on the radical right. But what really bothers me is all these people who get offended when you tell them that the reason that they aren't getting what they want is because they don't work hard. You want to be thin? Then stop rationalizing how being 400 pounds is healthy and denying the reality of your situation. How about you spend some time learning how to exercise and learning how to eat better? Do you hate making minimum wage? How about when you get home from work, you hit the books or learn a trade? Get that 14-hour day in. You aren't going to change your situation any other way, and you definitely won't change it by complaining. And if that doesn't convince you, here's an example of how lazy some of the people who promote radical leftism are.
I basically went and worked like 4 hours a week last quarter. That's just how it works in our company.
Yeah.
But Twitter is like mental health and everything. Like if you're not feeling it, you can take a few days off. People are taking months off.
4 hours a week and they allow you to take months off? No wonder Twitter's a failing business. They just let their employees walk all over them. Why wasn't this guy fired? And speaking of having thin skin,
ideologically, it does not make sense, like, because we're actually censoring the right, not the left. So if everyone on the right wing would be like, bro, it's okay to say, just gotta tolerate it. The left would be like, no, I'm not gonna tolerate it. I need it censored, or else I'm not gonna be in the country.
Is it any wonder that these kinds of people aren't doing well? Is it any wonder that Twitter is a failing company that has to use bots to make it look like way more people use that website than the number of people who actually do? These are key features of people who aren't mentally healthy. Inability to work hard or deal with any negativity. Learning how to handle those things is why mental health treatment is so important. Back to the show.
I am 75 minutes in, and so far, I've had an undercooked pizza.
We're waiting on one pizza.
It's coming, no, it's coming, no, no.
You keep saying that. You've been saying that for an hour.
It doesn't take an hour to make a pizza. If you're trying to get customers, then know that there is nothing that people hate more than having their time wasted, especially people who have lots of money and can afford to eat out all the time. If you don't have the skill and the efficiency to release a product in a timely manner, then no one's going to want to patronize your business. As a professional chef, you should know every time-saving technique in the book, like that McDonald's movie, The Founder. I don't know if this is the exact accurate representation of how fast food started, but there is a scene in that movie where the owner creates a whole routine with the staff so that no action is wasteful. That's the efficiency that you need. In every field, being able to produce a quality product quickly is super important. But the problem is that Amy's menu is so complex that it's impossible to know the recipes well enough to get them done in a short amount of time, or to customize the kitchen to finish the recipes quickly.
It's not normal for a kitchen that small to have 65 items on the menu.
That's too many items for a restaurant with only one chef, and too many menu items is a consistent theme of failing restaurants on this show. Tons of people who don't know what they're doing love to overcomplicate things in their business as well as many other aspects of their life. You need to keep things simple. The crazy thing is that if Amy did that, she would probably have a very successful bakery. Unlike most episodes of this show, it turns out that Amy actually is able to cook some food at a high level.
Wow. Well, look at that. Come on.
My wife, Amy, yeah.
Did you make them?
Yes, I did.
Incredible.
And talent for it, and this is all I want to do.
That's lovely.
Thank you.
And the ganache as well.
Thank you.
That's beautiful. Mm. Amy, if all your food is as good as it's deserved, trust me, there's something not quite right here.
I mean, this is so simple. The restaurant is called Amy's Baking Company. Just make it a cake shop. You don't even have to change the name or any of the branding. Amy's Baking Company is already a good name. However, I don't think hamburgers and ravioli when I hear baking, so why are they on the menu? She's overcomplicating things and adding more to her workload while at the same time lowering her restaurant's value. That's one of the more difficult principles for people to understand about business or doing any sort of project. If you take things in the wrong direction or make them too complex, you can actually hurt your business even though you are doing more work. Less is more. Here's something else that's positive about Amy's restaurant.
Normally, owners don't like it when I expect kitchens, but the floor's shiny. It's like a basketball court.
Come, please come see. If you're not,
my goodness,
you want the jacket? No, you don't need it. You don't need it.
It's like a doctor's surgery in here.
Yes, thank you, thank you. Thank you for saying the truth.
Oh my goodness me. Is this a joke? I mean, look, dates, labels,
yes, everything,
sectioned off. Wow, what a pleasure.
Now, I have watched most of the episodes of Kitchen Nightmares. It's been a while since I did that, but this is either the only restaurant that I've seen that was clean, or it's one of very few. Usually there's mold and dead bugs everywhere, so good for Amy's Baking Company for getting that part right. Honestly, I can't stand it when restaurants are dirty, and what's wrong with business owners who do that? This is not a construction site. I'm going to a restaurant to eat, so things should be sanitary. A dirty business looks low class. So in this sense, Amy's Baking Company is doing very well. But now let's get into the real issue, which you probably already figured out by now. Amy and Sammy's social skills are terrible. Let's start with how they treat the staff.
Now, how long have you been here?
A month and a half.
Good tips?
I don't make tips.
Say that again.
I make hourly.
Serious? You must be the only server in this country.
I know.
That doesn't get tipped out. So where do the tips go?
The owner.
What?
I hire people to do things for me on a regular basis, and I would never treat them like that. Now, I do have my own issues with tipping culture. For example, I recently have been flipping out on Twitter because I keep getting asked to tip cashiers who do nothing but take your order, even at a self-serve place. And tipping cashiers who spend 5 seconds serving you seems to be a brand new trend. But when I go to restaurants, I tend to tip servers very high because a lot of those people are broken in their 20s, and I remember what it was like to be broken in my 20s. However, I would be pissed to find out that my tip was going to the owner and not the person that I was trying to be charitable towards.
Amy's nuts. 1 second, she's like a nice little Care Bear.
Thank you so much. I love you. You're such a good girl.
And the next second, she's like Cruella De Vil.
To all the people who are in abusive relationships, pay attention to this because this is what counts. First off, stable and predictable behavior is a sign of a healthy relationship. Second, anyone can put on a smile and be nice for a short period of time. Look, despite all the rage, even Sammy and Amy are able to be polite when they first meet Gordon Ramsay.
Hey, Chef!
How are you?
How are you doing?
Nice to see you. First name is?
Sammy.
Sammy,
good to see you. I'm the owner. You're the owner. You.
Did you make them?
Yes, I did.
Incredible.
It's nice to meet you.
Likewise. Good to see you. I mean, they're extraordinary.
Thank you. That's very nice. It means a lot coming from you.
Okay. And who's the head chef?
I am.
Hold on. Stop. Holy crap. You got lucky.
I'm the lucky one. He is my soulmate, and we're in this business together.
I know this confuses people, but the 95% of the time where the abusers are perfect angels is not what counts. It's the part where they cross the line and beat you, or the part where they scream at you, or when they emotionally abuse you. Good people will not cross that line or break those boundaries like Amy and Sammy are doing. I'm sure someone needs to hear it, so I'll say this. Hitting someone is crossing the line. If someone hits you or assaults you out of anger, end the relationship. You will not fix them, and if you could fix them, the best possible thing to do would be to give them instant and harsh consequences for their bad behavior.
A food runner named Katie asked Amy a question.
4B. No, 5B. Are you sure?
And Amy lost it.
You don't need to question me, Katie. You can go home right now. Katie, listen to me when I'm speaking to you. Do not walk away from me. You don't work here anymore, okay? Don't start crying. Why are you behaving like this? Oh my God. Come on.
She doesn't work here anymore. She's a poisonous little viper, and I don't allow people to have an attitude in my restaurant.
Again, I would never treat an employee like that. When you're a manager, you never scream at an employee, especially in public. That is super inappropriate. Imagine being a customer and watching that happen. It makes you feel like you're eating in a dump. Sammy and Amy apparently fired everyone after the episode finished filming, and just like in good abuser fashion, the next day they begged at least one of the employees to come back.
They fired everyone, told everyone who can do everything on their own. The next day I was called, and Amy and Sammy begged for me to come back, so I did.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The answer to that phone call should have been no. Shortly after she was rehired, she took a $5 tip from a customer, and Sammy and Amy blew up, so she quit. But of course, both Sammy and Amy brush this stuff off and say that the reason that they have to keep firing people is because they can never find any good workers.
We can't find qualified people to work. They want to come and get a paycheck and not work.
In Arizona?
They're not good.
How many people have you been through?
A lot.
A few hundred.
A few hundred?
Yeah.
If you've gone through hundreds of employees in a few years, they aren't the problem. You are. There's some way that you're handling your interactions that's causing employees to behave poorly. Like how Amy fired that girl Katie for simply asking a question. If you want good employees, here's a working strategy. Praise good things they do in public and only criticize them in private. That's a strategy that works on children in a primary school classroom, and it works on adults in a business. Amy making a big scene when she fired that girl was an extremely stupid move. That signals to all of your other employees that you're insane. If that person deserved to be fired, then Amy should have pulled her into the office and privately dismissed her. On the other half of that equation, Amy and Sammy never seem to tell employees when they're doing anything right. How are the employees supposed to know what desirable behavior is? If you only say bad things about people, then they will slowly start to believe that they can never do anything right. But Amy did say her employees are lazy. Well, the reason she thinks that is because her and Sammy don't trust the people they hire to do any work.
If I'm not here working, we're not open.
Say that again.
If my husband's not here, we're not open. We don't run without each other here.
You're kidding me.
No.
That's no way to run a business.
Well, no wonder it takes an hour to make a pizza. You're trying to cook for a whole restaurant of people by yourself. If you don't trust the people you employ, then why did you hire them? Certainly, I don't give people reoccurring work if I don't trust them.
Do we have any male chefs?
No, all females. The male chefs, their ego is too big and it's too little in my kitchen, so they leave. I show them the door.
Well, that's ironic. Sammy also shows that he doesn't trust people and acts like working a cash register is the most complicated thing in the world, particularly when it's the same interface that all of the other restaurants use.
Does Miranda use the POS system?
No, she does not yet. Nobody's. I'm the only one who uses it. Yeah.
But the quicker you teach her, the quicker you can take her back seat.
I will teach her when you come the time. I will teach her.
Miranda, have you ever worked on a POS system?
Yes, at every job that I've worked at.
She doesn't need training. She knows how to do it.
Again, if you had a few bad employees, then you probably just have bad luck. But if every employee you have is bad, then the problem is you. Later in the episode, someone's order gets screwed up, only for it to be revealed that the waitress got the order right while Sammy messed it up because he failed to use the cash register properly. This, of course, is compounded by the horrible way they treat their customers. I've already showed some of this next interaction, so let me show the rest of it.
Go, you motherfucker!
Are you
kidding me?
No,
get out of here! Don't speak like this! Go!
No!
You can see that even the people recording the episode stepped into the frame to try to stop him. That's how you know on TV when shit's hit the fan.
I've eaten a lot of places, some nice, some not so nice, but I don't think I've ever had somebody come out and offer to whip my ass.
This is a major boundary violation. Getting into a fight like that with a customer should have never happened. Not to mention that Sammy asked him to pay for food that he didn't receive. So I don't care how polite they were when they first met Gordon Ramsay, I don't care if they're nice almost all the time. They should have never treated the customer like that. The crazy thing is that after all that, Amy jumps up and plays the victim.
You motherfuckers, you all think that you can come in here and say these things. Are you kidding me? This is ridiculous.
All the guy did was say that the food was taking too long and she flipped out. Do you see how completely diabolical people who play victim all the time are? They are some of the worst people. Also, if you're trying to do well and be a success, the problem with blowing up and getting pissed off all the time is that people will become afraid to give you useful feedback.
Not only do they lash out and swear at customers,
I will go tell them to fuck off if my husband doesn't.
But they take it one step further and retaliate against them.
I hope he eats it, and I just made it really spicy for him. Bear, freak him.
What a complete psychopath. This is a customer. This is someone who took a chance on you and is allowing you to live your dream. How dare you treat them like that? And think about it. If someone responds like this every time you say something's wrong or give them negative feedback, then why would you ever give them bad news?
I feel like Sammy sugarcoats a lot of what happens in the restaurant. So Amy gets this feeling that like everything she's doing is correct. Everything's right.
I know my wife. She doesn't take the criticism. She will be shaking and then she say, that's it. I'm leaving.
Well, of course he's afraid. He has to go home to that, and neither of them are good at dealing with negativity. Guys, you're running a business. No business is perfect, and things are going to go wrong. If you foster an environment where people are afraid to tell you when there's a problem, then you're going to fail.
Sammy tells everything to me as I tell everything to Sammy. We share, we don't keep secrets from each other.
I couldn't resist on that one. I thought it was funny because when someone says, we don't keep secrets, I immediately know they are lying, and there was a ton of evidence that Sammy is withholding information from Amy in the episode. These guys have terrible social skills and no ability to work as a team. Again, I have a lot of trouble believing that Sammy was successful enough on his own in building custom houses to have $1 million to fund this business because he is completely missing the social components of someone that's successful. Does it even cost $1 million to open up a restaurant in Scottsdale, Arizona in 2006? Oh wait, I almost forgot this.
Do you have children?
Well, we have 3 little boys, but they're trapped inside cat bodies.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're cats.
Our babies are cats. They're my whole life, besides my husband and my business. I speak feline. Meow, 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 meow.
Thank God these people don't have kids, and I feel bad for those cats. But imagine being a kid and having parents who will retaliate against you and try to hurt you if you give them any sort of bad news or assert your own opinion, like Amy did with her customers. What an awful experience that would be. Oh wait, lots of kids already have asshole parents who do that. At least in this case, Amy and Sammy weren't two more. Anyway, this whole episode turned out to be a mess because Chef Ramsay brings up problems, and they just deny that the problems exist.
Oh my God.
Did you taste it? You didn't taste that one.
I didn't because you didn't get the feedback. I said they were disgusting.
People usually love it. I've never had a problem with it,
but... People usually love it.
You're attacking my business and my life. This is all I do is live this life every day. You're not telling me the problems. You are saying I'm delusional, I'm this, I'm this, I'm this.
Great, the abuser is pretending to be the victim. Where have we seen that before? Eventually, Amy and Sammy become too hard to work with, and after, I believe, 10 seasons of this show, the count's a little difficult because it was a British show before the American version, but for the first time ever, Gordon Ramsay gives up and leaves without finishing the episode.
If we continue the show, we're going to start from scratch.
I want to forget the word show. This is not a show for me.
No, I mean, I don't know what you
call it. This is a restaurant that is in crisis with a delusional owner that can't take criticism. You have the right to run the business the way you want to run your business. I have the right to do the right thing. And the right thing for me is to get out of here.
I believe Chef Ramsay was only there for 2 days. They couldn't handle 2 days of criticism. Well, this episode ran as the finale of that season, and it became so popular that they did a follow-up as the first episode of the next season. During that follow-up episode, Amy and Sammy said that they were being treated unfairly, and Kitchen Nightmares lied about them.
We were made to look like the most psychotic, lunatic people in the universe, and after watching Kitchen Nightmares, I see all the crazy, but I don't see any of the good.
She seems to have forgotten the time Chef Ramsay spent complimenting her cakes and how clean her kitchen was. But here's why I believe that this episode is genuine, or at least for the most part genuine. If Kitchen Nightmares lied about Amy's baking company, then that restaurant would have blown up and become a huge success. Kitchen Nightmares brought tons of people to their restaurant.
Right after the show aired, we had thousands of people come to our restaurant. It was like Disneyland.
If the service and the food was good, then they would have more business than they would know what to do with. But that's not what happened. The episode aired in 2013, and 2 years later, they sold the business. Now it's almost been a decade since the episode was filmed, and last year the New York Post did a follow-up interview. Sammy had some immigration issues, so they moved to Israel, where Amy started a new business.
I really have been working on becoming a master baker, and I create digital content.
Today I'm making coconut cake.
Sift together the baking powder and the flour,
and then I will link them to my Amazon store.
Yes, this is what you should have done from the start. Stick to what you're good at and remove all the fluff. Just run a bakery. On another positive note, Amy appears to sound a little more mentally healthy than she did a decade ago.
I've grown tremendously from this entire situation. There were a lot of things that I regret. I regret my behavior.
You guys are full of shit.
I regret that the whole world had to see how I am when I'm severely defensive and scared. It humbled me. Everybody is struggling through something. I know my behavior was terrible on that show.
She doesn't seem to be all the way there, but the way she speaks and her current actions are definitely an improvement. I think that some of that mental change comes from her finally doing something that works. And on that note, for me, when I teach people about content creation, the biggest resistance I get is from me trying to get them to drop their ego and just do what works. Though I can't entirely blame them. I had that problem too when I was younger. But Amy was trying to run this big, fancy restaurant with a massive menu and all organic foods when the reality was that it didn't work. And a lot of the stuff that she used was prepackaged and full of chemicals. This didn't work for her for like 9 years. What a waste of time. If she just started out as a cake shop and maybe didn't yell at people, she could have been a huge success right away. That being said, listen carefully. You will not be a success until you stop wasting your time doing things that don't work. You can learn this lesson now, or you can burn a decade of your life and learn it later. In reality, you should be assessing yourself and constantly asking, is what I'm doing working? If it's not, then change your behavior until what you're doing gives you the results that you want. Don't live in the fantasy of how you think things should be. Live in the reality of how things actually are. And believe me, if you're in denial right now, then you will be shocked at how fast your life will improve when you start doing things that work. Anyway, thanks for watching. Follow me on Twitter, and I'll see you in the next video.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.